Who are we going to show to?
Let's get down here. Okay, so let's call the April 5th meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order. We begin with the flag salute, which will be led by Colin and Nathan, please.
All right, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw? Councilmember Kelly? Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Bond?
Here.
Do we have a motion to excuse Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw and Councilmember Kelly, who are with their families tonight?
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. First up is audience communication. Does anybody want to talk to the council tonight? Once? Twice? Okay. Next up is new business, our hazard mitigation plan.
Is that you, Tom?
It is me.
Hey.
There is an act called the Federal Disaster or the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000 that established certain requirements that public agencies, cities, counties have to meet regarding hazard mitigation planning. It typically is the plans are updated on a five-year frequency. We have actually done it twice before in the past, both times with the Emergency Services Coordinating Agency, ESCA, that no longer exists. For the update for 2015, the city teamed with 32 other agencies, including Snohomish County, to update the plan. It was a relatively long process. It took over 2 years. There was a six-month interruption in the process, and that was due to the OSO disaster. And the plan has been tentatively accepted by FEMA, pending approval from each participating agency adoption of the plan. The plan purpose is, as a plan, is to provide some principles for mitigating the impacts of natural hazards. The focus on the plan this time, which was a little different than in past times, was more on those things related to zoning and other things that could help reduce disasters like OSO. If we don't adopt the plan, and the City Council does not have to adopt the plan, what it does is eliminate our eligibility for hazard mitigation funding. What it does not do, and I want to make that very clear, is it does not mean we cannot be reimbursed for hazards that are disasters that do happen. For instance, we have two disasters in the past 6 months. Both are windstorms. And we both applied for and will be getting hazard mitigation, not hazard mitigation, but reimbursement through the public assistance, the disaster public assistance program for that. If council elected not to adopt this resolution, that would not preclude that. What it would preclude is things like the ability to apply for grants that will help mitigate hazards. And I currently am planning on submitting an application for a seismic retrofit for the annex building and a generator as well. It doesn't mean that we'll get those. There's no guarantee whatsoever, but I will be submitting that. If we did not adopt this plan, we could not submit applications like that.
Any questions?
I have a whole bunch of questions. I sent some to Rebecca and didn't hear back, so I don't know exactly what she'd like us to do. Tom and I had a discussion week before last or whenever it was. Got concerns about the plan itself. I have concerns about most, though, about the resolution and what it kind of implies we're going to do. And I guess let me point the council to a couple of pages. Take a look at Volume 2, page 1-3. So Volume 2 is the part that's specific to Mill Creek. In the hazard mitigation plan, we have Volume 1, Executive Summary. Then the next section you have is called Volume 2, Part 1. It's about, I don't know, 10 pages into the packet. And look at the page that is 1-3 at the bottom.
Okay.
So this page, if you look down all these bullets, my concern is that there's lots of will be expected to's in this. And look down about halfway, look at the fourth solid bullet down. Each partner will be expected to perform a consistency review of all technical studies. Next one, each partner will be expected to review the risk assessment and identified hazards. Next one, each partner will be expected to review. Next one, each partner will be required to create, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm concerned that the plan says if you adopt this, we're going to say there's a lot of wills like shalls, like you got to do it. So I'm concerned about that. Page has a lot of stuff that maybe are all good ideas. I'm not opposed to those ideas, but I think they take a lot of staff energy and time, and I'm just want to talk to the city manager about the priority of that and whether we really want to subscribe to that. That's an example. Now go back to the resolution. The second page of the resolution itself, under the now therefores, the first one under A says Mill Creek City Council hereby, number one, adopts Volume 1 in its entirety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Tom has advised us that the county folks have advised us we pretty much have to take that first paragraph to qualify for grants, which is great. The second, the one that's labeled number two, it says we, Mill Creek City Council, hereby will use the adopted portions of this to guide pre- and post-disaster mitigations and hazard identified. And number three is we'll coordinate the strategies identified. Again, the word will, I'm concerned about. Tom says that checking with the county, we could strike two and three, or maybe we would change those around. Because I think the intent was okay. I wasn't worried about the wording. Long statement, way more complex than everybody wants to get into. I'm sorry I got as deep into it as I did, but the more I read it, I'm just concerned about this plan. It has some internal inconsistencies. It has a lot of wills and shalls in there that I'm concerned about. Again, not bad things that we don't want to do or wouldn't aspire to do, but I'm just concerned about the workload implied by these things. And so I don't really know how we want to deal with that. We could reword the resolution to soften those wills under A, 2, and 3. We could just look at Section B and C, which is kind of the, oh, by the way, we're just kidding. We don't really have to do this stuff. It's all discretionary, and don't sue us if we don't do it. And so somebody who put this together, and this was not a resolution, it was written by the city, this was written by the county, and everybody else is apparently signing this thing. Somebody must have already said, I can't in good conscience say yes to A, 1, 2, and 3, and so they added in paragraphs B and C to say, well, we're just kidding, we're not really going to do it anyway. I just find the whole thing is, pardon my French, government gobbledygook, and I'm not proud of this. And I think... I'm not asking staff to throw anybody under the bus, but I think that there were some frustrations by staff in the process, too. I'd love to have Tom tell us about the consequences of the statement that you may have found in here that they laid out some goals, laid out some objectives, but by the way they've laid out the goals and objectives, they make it very difficult for us to qualify for any grants. And Tom has already got to run out the flagpole, but basically we're not going to qualify for most things. It'd be my guess if somebody really reads what's in the plan and what you have to do, it says you have to incorporate two or more of the following nine things to be able to get a grant, and we never qualify for more than one the way they've written it. I think the whole process got derailed along the way, and I think Mill Creek's going to lose out.
Okay.
Sure. As Council Member Todd said, we did meet last week, and there's no problem whatsoever in changing the resolution, and on your agenda item page 5 of 55 under A, either totally deleting sections A2 and A3 or just simply changing the word will to may, which would certainly means we could do it if we want to, and if we don't want to do it, we don't have to do it. That would address the resolution issue. Regarding the goals and objectives, That's within the plan, and I'm trying to find what page is on the agenda. I just printed out the objectives are on page 13 of 55.
What's the page number at the bottom?
Those packet numbers don't appear in our
packet. Yeah, I'm looking at the packet number.
Those page numbers don't appear on our printed packet.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says ES-6.
Okay. ES-6?
Yeah, and it's objectives. And those objectives we can't meet, by and large, except with the very last one, 09. And the reason we can't meet them is they don't really apply to the city very well. I don't want to go through, well, actually, I could go through all of them. Discourage growth within high-risk areas. Well, we've already done that, so to speak. And asking for a seismic retrofit on a building does not achieve that objective. Relocate uses where safety to life or vital ecosystems cannot be assured. That is along a river, it's underneath a cliff that might fall down, it's things like that. And I have to put in a comment too that I think also to a certain extent steered the direction of some of these. And for many cities they apply. Many cities in this county live on a river or are located on a river. Support high risk reduction mitigation measures on lands where life safety and ecosystem services can be assured. If you go down these one by one, the only one that we really can comply with our grant type stuff is 09, increase the resilience of critical infrastructure to hazards. And that is a perfect example of our seismic retrofit project. So the way the scoring works is when you score yourself and you apply for a grant, your application is based on a low, medium, or high priority, and the priority is based on the number of objectives you satisfy. And to get a high rating, you have to meet at least two. We don't meet two on any of our proposed projects. So it doesn't mean we can't apply. It just means we have a medium level of priority according to the document that's been adopted. And I made a political statement, if you will, not a political statement. It's, what would you call it, Councilmember Todd?
I just... Caveat, somewhere.
Caveat. I just said there was a serious disconnect between the... If you look under 13-3, additional comments, and I'll just read it out loud because I think this summarizes it. In the opinion of the City of Mill Creek staff members that worked on the 2015 as a mitigation plan update, there is a serious disconnect between the stated plan goals and the plan objectives. Although all of the proposed Mill Creek initiatives very, very clearly meet one or more of the plan goals, and most meet two or three, it is difficult to match the initiatives to the plan objectives, and none of the initiatives of what we want to do as a city to move forward and help reduce the disaster likeliness or the disaster impacts to the city. And none of the initiatives meet more than one. That indicates there's a serious dissonance between the goals and objectives. The objectives were very focused on land use regulations or actions. Although that focus can be very effective in hazard mitigation, the range of objectives was not balanced when considering all the communities within the county. A good example is plan goal number 5, increase public awareness and ability to respond to disasters. It is a stretch to find even one plan objective that clearly aligns with the plan goal. Future updates of the Snohomish County Hazard Mitigation Plan need to have better integration of the goals and objectives. And they agree. But that's water under the bridge.
That's a hazard.
Excuse me? No pun intended. There are 33 agencies. It was a big process. I mean, we had meetings, like I said, that stretched on for 2 years. And it works great for some cities. It really does work some. It just doesn't work very well for us. And this didn't become obvious till the very end of the process. So they agree. They, when I've talked to the project manager for the county, they said, yeah, it's definitely not going to be this way next time. But like I said, that is water under the bridge. Many of the other, matter of fact, I don't know exactly of the 33 communities how many have adopted it, but I believe it's most. So you can't change it now unless all, whatever, I'm just guessing on the number, 20 other agencies re-adopt a modified plan, and that just, that does not make sense.
Tom, I guess that was my question. Is this the established template for all the agencies then?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mike, what is it that you need to make you, I mean, do you need...
First of all, this is our first look, and we have two council members missing. So
right.
We don't need to take action tonight.
Right.
So we could reschedule this for the 12th or the 25th, depending upon when Rebecca comes back, because we don't want her coming back too early. Would that give you adequate time to take a look at the language in the resolution?
Yeah, and I think I've already made those comments into staff on a couple of different emails, and so I think it's just a matter of staff. I would like to see staff come back. I think Tom's already kind of said we could change the will to a may. We can't change the body of the plan, and just fundamentally, you know, the resolution says we need to coordinate the strategies in the Snohomish County Hazard Mitigation Plan. The list of strategies then goes on to talk about action plans. There are not strategies in there. It's kind of a mismatch of terms, and so it's difficult to comply because this is just kind of poorly done, is my assessment. But we're stuck with it, and so I think there's ways we can sign off on it. And I think I applaud staff for the statement that Tom just read. I think staff did a fantastic job in an environment where this was, as you said, probably very much tempered and flavored by what had happened at OSO, and that's a tragedy. And I appreciate that they wanted to deal with that. But I think that for us in Mill Creek, our number one hazard that we need to worry about is earthquakes. It's not flooding. It's not landslides. It's not a lot of these other things. And unfortunately, we're set up for the next 5 years trying to use this plan for getting grants for things like seismic retrofit. That's going to be tough. So I just feel disappointed that this process let us down. But we can't change that. That's water under the bridge. Maybe staff's got a better idea. I'm just not sure what to do.
That's next.
Just a question. Could you repeat the downside? You started the
sure.
presentation. What if we don't sign this? Can you tell me the downside?
The downside with the plan as written is it's self-scoring. And you have to say how many of your initiatives, those are the things we want to do to mitigate hazards, none of them can be ranked as a high priority because to be a high priority, you have to meet two or more objectives. And the way it's set up, we cannot meet two or more of those objectives. It doesn't mean, I talked at length, and I did get a copy, Councilmember Todd, you and I actually obviously had the discussion. You re-summarized some of those in the email to the city manager. Since I wanted to prepare, and we were hoping to have someone from Snohomish County DEM here, but actually the person who led this project is doing a public open house right now for the plan in the city of Pryor, so she had that previous obligation. And I do have responses. Obviously I do not know if they'll satisfy you, but I do have responses from them on all the issues you brought up, and we can put that, I can put that in a memorandum and include it whenever you want to bring this back again, because initially this was to be the work session, and then at some future time, you were to adopt the resolution. So we can do that, and I certainly can bring back, it's so easy, it's kind of a no-brainer on changing the resolution. Either you just delete A, 2, and 3, or in A, 2, and 3, you change will to may, and I think it addresses very well your concerns, Council Member Todd.
May I follow up? I probably didn't make myself very clear, Director Gaffman. If we don't sign this document, if we don't join the crowd, what do we as a city lose out on?
We cannot apply for hazard mitigation funds.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but you said we're really low on the scoring.
We're low the way it is right now, but there is a chance in talking to DEM that this may have, it actually can have some updates in less than 5 years. The whole process will not be gone through again. But if we don't update it now, we completely eliminate ourselves from any opportunity. And although I'm not that familiar with it, probably the more times you ask for the same project and the same people are reviewing, you kind of rise up the scale. They say, gee, these people are really consistent in what they want. And sometimes you slip under the door and you get your grant.
And if you don't join now?
I can't even apply.
Okay. Can you join 2 years from now?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Or is it do or die date?
The plan had a way for latecomers to kind of join in. It was
correct.
In there.
There is a lot. For instance, the city of Briar is a latecomer. They have not even completed their annex yet. They're still in the process. We are a year ahead of them. So, yeah, there are latecomers. But to be honest, I don't know. The only advantage of not adopting the resolution, even if we weaken it, water it down, so we're just doing what we have to do, all it does is eliminate our possibility for applying for grants. And I don't see how that benefits us at all.
Well, I think maybe the solution that you just talked with, and this is a look, and that the nays instead of the shalls and the wills might keep us more comfortable.
And why don't we bring it back when Rebecca comes back and after Mike has had a chance? So if she needs a couple more weeks to get well,
sure,
she can take it. But you'll see that the language is, or work with them on the language.
Yeah, I'd be happy to help with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
One more thing before, while we're giving stuff for staff to work on. Tom, I was also concerned about the under A1 in the resolution. It says we are going to adopt Volume 1 in its entirety. I'm a little, I know Volume 1 is really thick and I don't want to read it, but I always worry when we adopt something in its entirety and we don't look at it, because now that I look at what we do have in front of us, it's just like I've said, it's got some inconsistencies. But the big question, is there anything in Volume 1 that requires us to do anything? Does the word will or shall appear in Volume 1? That's what I'm worried about, and that's a horrible thing. Don't have to answer that, but that's my concern.
Sure.
Then they wanted us to adopt Volume 2, Part 1, and all Volume 2 appendices. And I got a question mark on that because I don't know what Volume 2 appendices are.
Mainly it's our annex and it's other maps and references in there. So it Volume 2 primarily applies to us. Our appendix is in Volume 2.
Yeah, it explicitly calls out Volume 2, Part 1, City of Mill Creek Jurisdictional Annex, is item 2 in the serial list of three things. And the third item is all Volume 2 appendices. That, again, sounds all-encompassing. I don't know what it is. I don't think that was in our packet.
I will clarify. I will find out.
I would love to approve pages 13.1 through 13.17 and know that that's what we're approving.
I'll get clarification to
something
you.
Like that, yeah. But and then you and I talked before, there was a map 14-something or other that now is not in this week's packet, but it was the one that had the only critical thing in town was one correct. Bridge that I didn't
and,
know what
and
it was.
There's a reason for that I can share with you offline.
Thanks.
So that's our game plan for this then?
Yes.
Thanks.
Perfect.
Okay,
thank you,
next Mike. Up is the construction contract award. Citywide asphalt paving.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. I'll be taking that item tonight. About 4 weeks ago, I was here in front of you talking about the annual work plan for our ongoing pavement preservation program. One part of that this year is our citywide asphalt repair project, which consists of about 150 sites around the city. We advertised the project for about 3 weeks through the usual newspapers and outreach centers. We received 5 bids, which we opened last Wednesday, and the results are summarized in your agenda summary. A company called Northwest Asphalt out of Renton submitted the lowest bid in the amount of $368,226. I was actually quite happy to see Northwest Asphalt as the lowest bidder. They've done a lot of work for local agencies, and they've been our repair contractor on the last two jobs that we've done in 2012 and 2010. They did great work, and I'm really happy to work with them again. They meet all the standard government contracting requirements with insurance and bonding. They're looking to start work as soon as they can get all the paperwork done. And the way we set up the contract this year, instead of doing a number of working days, we gave them a date to allow them some flexibility. And basically, the repair work is supposed to be done by July 1st. That gives them a couple months to kind of work around it, and then that flexibility allows for lower costs. And there's nothing really critical that we're working around, so it allows them to get the job done in an adequate time. As I said, the amount of the contract is a little over $368,000. The budget for this was included in the overall pavement preservation program. We have $925,000 left out of the original $1.5 million. That amount does include the overlay, chip seal, and crack seal work that we talked about back in early March. So with that, the recommendation from staff is to approve the resolution to authorize the city manager to execute the constructed contract for the 2016 citywide asphalt repair project to Northwest Asphalt in the amount of $368,226. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
How much should we save by waiting a year? Wasn't this the one that came in last year so high that we
Yes, it was. Last year we only had one bid and it was literally over $1 million. So we
basically saved about $700,000 by waiting a year.
Yes. Yeah, the scope was a little bit different, but the results were dramatically different.
Okay. Any other questions?
Probably doesn't exactly germane to this, but I like the, your approach to say, here's a get done by July 1st date and give them some flexibility. I think that's a great idea to kind of save some costs, make it easier for them. Here's my one concern. We don't want them to open something up and then leave it open for 2 weeks and then come back. I'm sure there's some provision.
Yeah, we actually have language in the contract where they can't leave it open overnight. They have to do some type of patching right away. And there is language where they have to come back in and repave it within, I think, 7 days or something like that. But that's addressed in those specifications.
Okay, good. Thank you.
What's the resolution number?
544.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2016-544, resolution of the City Council, the City of Mill Creek, Washington, awarding the contract for the 2016 citywide asphalt repair project, as stated by our engineer.
We have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Councilmember Cavallari. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Go forth.
And do good work.
I will go forth and pay.
My report is that Mill Creek was successful in getting our appropriation for $257,000 to help with the Public Works building. At one point, it was so bleak, I asked Rebecca, we were talking about maybe we should ask the council to hold off a year. Run at it, because frequently these things fail and you get them. But kudos to Representative Mark Harmsworth, who, although we went in for $600, advised us that we weren't going to get it and to reduce our amount. I have to say Tom Gathman is the wizard of grant applications. So that was a huge plus in getting this grant. Not everybody was quite as eloquent in their grants. And the key was Mark got us on the House list. The Senate absolutely turned us down, but we knew that if we could get to reconciliation where they have to match the budgets, then Hobbs could come in and help us. So it wasn't announced until the very last day that the list came out and we were in pitching all the time. So it wasn't as much as we wanted, but $257,000 in a year when very few people got anything, and I'll take it.
It's for our public workshop?
Yeah, public workshop.
Great.
When we go, so I think it's about 25% of the amount is what you came down to, but you know, once again, Tom just those beautiful applications that made it easy for them to support us. So,
thank you for doing that, Tom.
Councilmember Bonding?
No report.
Councilmember Cavallari, any reports?
Okay.
Now, just one quick note. Fantastic job on holding off on the asphalt bid and the savings that we were able to obtain by simply waiting them out, I guess, until the work was more available.
Okay, Councilor Michelson?
Vince, how are you feeling?
I'm almost there. I'm hopeful for next week, and if not next week, the week after for sure.
Well, you just take care of yourself. No report.
Thank you very much.
No report.
Okay. Councilmember
Todd. A couple of things. The mayor and I both went to the Puget Sound Regional Council's annual meeting last week. They showed a video that I think we could show, but we don't have to show it. Let's wait till next time because we're missing a lot of folks.
Okay.
It's a kind of a nice 3-minute video they put together that kind of makes you pumped up about living in the Puget Sound area. And I'm going to get copies of the their annual report. It's a nice thing. So Gina's ordered those. They aren't here yet. So we'll pass those out next week. So I think let's just do it then. Thank you for queuing that up, though. Good meeting. It was an opportunity to for a lot of people to ride Link Light Rail. Light Rail had just opened from downtown through Capitol Hill to UW campus right there at the stadium. And so a lot of people rode Light Rail to the event. And some of us rode it afterwards just down and back just to prove that we'd been on it. So it was kind of fun. And that's kind of all. If you actually go and spend some time on Light Rail, this is pretty exciting. But I think that's going to be a tough sell. Light Rail is going to be a tough sell in Snohomish County. So you've probably seen in the newspaper, been a lot of letters. Snohomish County City's executive board sent a letter out there that helped kind of go into the editorial. It was last weekend. The mayor's got one in front of her that Economic Alliance is trying to get all the mayors from Snohomish County to speak up about Sound Transit 3 plan. I just got this in the mail today. You probably all got one, too, or maybe you'll get one soon that says, hey, please weigh in. This went to everybody, and there's a lot of people that are excited by it, but I think there's a lot of people that are also frustrated by it, because right now it talks about getting to Everett in 2041, which is just unacceptable to most of us. It's just got to get here faster. And I personally don't think it's going to fly in the election if it doesn't get here faster than that, but that's just me personally. But anyway, there's a lot of effort to try to get Snohomish County's voice clearly heard that we're glad they're finally completing the link, the spine that they promised, but the fact they're doing a lot of other stuff before they complete the spine is upsetting to all of us. Tongue-in-cheek, it's kind of interesting that they've got an open house that's at Everett Station, starts at 5:30. The presentation's at 6, and it goes until 7:30 for the public comment period. And I happen to have someone who left my house who works downtown Seattle, and for her to get to this meeting is impossible based on the amount of traffic from downtown, the fact that she'd be stuck in traffic. So just like it's going to take too long to get to Everett for light rail, it also would take too long for people to come to the public meeting to talk about light rail. So I think it's just maybe it's...
Good point.
The way they set it up was that it'd be tough for people. People would have to take time off from work to get to this if they are doing commuters or using public transit or trying to use the highway to get to back and forth to downtown Seattle. So the whole thing's kind of crazy. I do encourage you to go online. There's a survey. I don't think it's a professionally done survey, but it's a survey, and I think it makes sense for a lot of Snohomish County people to get in there and see what it's worth. So my own opinion, but I think other people probably at least ought to weigh in, too. Thanks.
Okay, anything from staff? Audience communication? Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.